All right. So my name is Blake Hott. I'm here with CJ Richardson, the head sport performance coach here at St. Mary's University. CJ, just want to tell you us about yourself, just like where you're from, how long you've been here, stuff like that.
Sure. I've been here for, I guess, almost 3 years now. I've lived in a couple different places in Texas, lived in Colorado, and I grew up in Chicago.
Awesome. And before COVID-19 happened, what would be like a standard day in the life for you as a coach?
Get in, you know, around 5 or so in the morning, prepare for the day, have several teams come through. You know, we'd have anywhere from, you know, sometimes you have smaller groups of, you know, whatever, 10 people or so in the weight room, but sometimes as many as 50, 60, 70 kids in here sometimes. When bigger teams are involved in student population as well. So, and then, yeah, just do that for a few hours in the morning and then work, you know, in the office. Or, you know, while most of the kids are in class, and then afternoon usually have another, you know, handful of groups coming through, and then, you know, day's done and late afternoon.
Awesome. And so when the shutdown happened, did things kind of stop all of a sudden and it's kind of flipped upside down, or did you kind of sense that like there was going to be a movement happening with COVID-19 and that like things started to dwindle down, or was it like a just stop right in the middle?
As I remember it, there was a little bit of growing concern. But no one was really expecting it to affect us. And then we went on spring break. And while we were on spring break, I remember it was a Utah Jazz. It was a Utah Jazz game. It was Rudy Gobert got the virus. Because I remember up to that point they were talking about, you know, possibly doing events with no fans and stuff like that. And then when an actual player got it, it seemed like everything just went crazy at that point. And everyone started canceling their seasons, and like, or not necessarily canceling, but at least postponing. And then eventually some got canceled. But, and then it kind of became a thing where we were like, oh man, this is going to happen to us too. And then our school extended spring break initially, by a week. Might have been 2 weeks. I can't remember. But they initially just extended spring break to give professors a chance to basically catch up and get ready for online school. And then once that happened, you know, I mean, nobody came back. So, I mean, some kids came back, especially some of the international students. So they were around, but everything was closed. And, it was pretty sudden, but I guess it might have been less sudden if we hadn't been on spring break. It might have been more gradual, but because we're on spring break, once everything happened, it was just done. And so things never really got back to any sense of normal until the fall.
Took the spring break, they lasted for like 6 months.
Exactly.
And how specifically did your life change? You know, from, you know, busy days where you start in the morning, go to like the late afternoon, to, you know, this complete shutdown. How did you kind of deal with that, and what were some changes that you had to make in your life?
You're talking about during the?
Yeah, like during the shutdown.
So I guess it changed. So we started, you know, nobody knew how long anything was going to last. So initially it was like, all right, let's put together some workouts that we can do virtually with the athletes. You know, it won't be as good as obviously, you know, our normal training, but it'd be something to kind of fill in the gap for a couple weeks until we can go back to normal. You know, it's kind of what everyone's thinking was. You know, and obviously that didn't happen, but so I guess initially it was more of a thought of, like, okay, let's just kind of stay in shape. And so I would do these virtual workouts every morning at what time did we do them? I think we're doing 7:30 or 7:15 in the morning, which was much later for me actually than normal. But we would do the workouts then. So they'd be 30 to 40 minutes, and kids would have a chance to get ready if they had to log onto a class at, like, I think it was 7:15 is when we did it, because some kids had classes that they had to log on to at 8 or something like that. But anyway, so we'd do that, and then I would basically, I'd work on stuff that I could, that I knew we were going to be doing, but a lot of it was still up in the air, so I didn't really want to put too much work into something that might never happen. I did a lot of professional development, just personally, a lot of research, just study on different topics and things, just to try to expand my own knowledge base and just keep trying to improve them while I wasn't able to actually work with kids. Tried to reach out to as many kids as I could, you know, electronically, email, text, whatever, social media. Just try to stay connected with them. But yeah, I had a lot more time on my hands for sure. Mm-hmm. So, I spent a lot more time with my family, obviously, and, obviously I wasn't able to really work out like I used to, but I ran a lot and stuff like that. So, it was a weird time for sure. Definitely, you get the feeling kind of bored at times, and, things got very repetitive after a while. I'd say the number one thing is just that nobody knew what was happening and how long it was going to last. So, like, the confusion of that, I think, was kind of the main thing I remember through those, especially those first month, first 6 weeks, first 8 weeks kind of thing. It was just kind of like everyone just thought, oh, it's some, like, one day it'll just be okay and everything will go back to normal. But obviously that doesn't happen, so.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting. I remember at the beginning too, I was kind of like, okay, this is my last few weeks. Get back to it, you know. But we were wrong. So now that students are back and that you're training athletes again, what are some of the major changes you notice from, you know, before the lockdown to now, and how has that kind of affected your life and just how you do your day-to-day job?
In terms of, like, the restrictions that we have?
Yeah, restrictions and, you know, maybe some differences you notice even with the athletes and how, you know, they bring a different attitude maybe, or if you sense, like, concern amongst them, things along those lines.
Sure, okay. So when it comes to, obviously, our restrictions, much smaller groups, training at once. We're only allowed no more than 20 in the weight room at a time. That wasn't even that in the beginning. It was much, I think it was 10 or 15 at a time in the beginning. So smaller groups means usually a little less energy. We try to limit movement where players are going to be coming into contact with each other, sharing the same physical space, by doing that, you kind of, the distancing takes away some of the intensity of the training. And so I do feel like they are a little more subdued than I've seen in the past. Not that they don't work hard, but there's just a little less energy. The mood is a little more, less excited or something maybe. We do have some athletes that you can tell are more nervous than others. So there's some athletes that are like genuinely nervous about getting sick. That's a pretty small number, but there's some. Then there's a lot who are like very intent on taking all the protocols seriously as far as the wearing masks and the distancing. And you can tell they're very vigilant about like using the hand sanitizer and stuff like that. And then you got some who are they're trying to do it, but they're not maybe like super strict about it. And then you've got the ones who are like, they don't want to wear a mask. Like, they don't really wipe down stuff unless you tell them. I've never seen them wash their hands. Like, you know, you got ones that are just like kind of essentially ignoring everything. So it really does run the gamut, a wider range of reactions that we've seen. But I would say the ones on the ends obviously are the minorities, and then most fall in that middle section of, even if they don't necessarily agree with all the protocols, they're still going to get on board and do them because they understand it's the only way we can keep doing what we're doing. So. Mm-hmm.
Good. All right. Awesome. Thank you. That's all the questions I have for you. Yeah.
Cool.
Great. All right. Simple. Yeah. No, it's only supposed to be like 10 minutes. So, and that was 10 minutes and 30 seconds, I think.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Stop.